You're listening to The 21st Show, a program connecting Illinois, the 21st state. I'm Reginald Hardwick, in for Brian Mackey. We're talking about recent protests against the Trump administration in central and southern Illinois. While 500,000 people signed up to participate in national and statewide hands-off protests on April 5th, there was buzz that some Black activists were deciding to stay on the sidelines for them.
The reason why there are so many videos telling us to stay home is because in Project 2025, their blueprint to how to destroy this country, they wrote in there that when a protest, big protest happened, they're going to institute martial law. And we know anytime Black people protest, they always come with extra violence.
Yo, what's up, y'all? So check it out. We are not protesting April 5th. Every Black person, keep your behind at home.
Those were social media posts from various Black influencers who say they voted in the November election but are staying home and concentrating on their mental health instead of protesting in the streets. One person also taking a similar path is Rabbi Sandra Lawson, Director of Racial Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Reconstructing Judaism, a central organization of the Jewish Reconstructionist Movement. Her recent Substack essay is entitled, "Why Some Black Folks Are Sitting This One Out, and That's Okay." Rabbi Sandra Lawson joins us. Welcome to The 21st Show.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Sandra, tell me about some of the reasons why, as your article says, Black folks are sitting this one out.
Well, my essay was more of a commentary of what I was witnessing online. You know, Black TikTok, for example, which I enjoy, just the creativity and humor that some of the creators use when describing some of the cultural issues in our society. I work in a predominantly white environment. My colleagues are predominantly white, and I know many of them were protesting, and I had a feeling that many might ask me at some point why there were a lack of Black protesters out in the streets. And I also know that I'm in multiple conversations that my colleagues are not in. And so I decided to write the piece, and I was actually kind of surprised that so many people read it. And I think it just sort of reflects our time period. And one of the things that I was seeing was many Black creators and activists for safety reasons, being tired, and then maybe feeling that it might be time for white folks to take the lead on some of these protests.
It reminds me a little bit about 5 years ago when there were so many protests after the murder of George Floyd.
Right.
While, yes, Black people were out on the streets, they were also really talking with white people about being more responsible to talk about systemic racism.
Right.
What makes this time different?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, at least from my vantage point, I have not watched as a, you know, a 50 plus year old Black woman. I was really hurt, saddened, I'm not sure which adjectives to use, after the election. And I have not watched news since the election. I've read the news. Most of my news I get now, I just read, or I listen to NPR in my car. And I'm smiling, laughing because this is NPR that I'm talking to. I just can't. And I've tried to watch cable news a few times and I just turn it off because I get kind of sick to my stomach. But again, I think what's happening for a lot of people, when you look at the exit polls and the demographic data that came out from 2016 plus this election, the 2016 election and this past election, overwhelmingly white folks, white men in particular, and white women voted for the man in the office, currently holding public office, presidential office, and not for the former vice president. And then when you look at who did vote for Harris, overwhelmingly again and again and again, Black folks and also Jews. And I think that for many people, myself included, it's just sort of like, here we go again. And watching many, many white folks vote against their own best interest. That's my opinion.
And I have some of those statistics with me. According to the Associated Press analysis of the 2024 presidential results, 89% of Black women and 59% of Latinas voted for Kamala Harris. 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump. On the other side of the gender spectrum, 74% of Black men and half of Latino men voted for Harris, while 60% of white men voted for Trump. The recent hands-off protests have been seeing a lack of representation from people of color, as we've talked about. Do you see some Black voters still trying to reconcile, whether I show up or even though there are so many influencers saying, let's take care of our mental health, let's stay at home?
Yeah, I think there's that, but I think there's also there's lots of ways to protest. There's lots of ways that are effective means of protesting that don't involve marching in the streets and carrying signs. And what I do see is, for example, I turned on my phone, and I don't know the details, but I turned on my phone, and it said that Reverend Al Sharpton was, I guess, having a conversation with Target executives, and about to sort of, I guess, deal with the protest. So there's this protest against Target, led largely by Black Christian churches, and that's a form of protest, and that's active action. And I think what's happening now is that Black people are using their capital, using their voices in other ways that may not be involved, they may not be marching in the streets. And one of the things I wrote in my piece that, for anyone that didn't want to march or do the that those protests, that was okay. Take care of your own mental health. And there's other ways to actively call out this administration and to put pressure on this administration.
And as you just mentioned, Target CEO Brian Cornell recently met with civil rights leader Reverend Al Sharpton to discuss the company's decision to roll back DEI programs. And the discussion comes as the big box retailer faces calls for a boycott and a slump in foot traffic that began soon after it announced its plans to walk away from some DEI initiatives. So you see that as effective?
I do. I do. And, it was also because I do spend a lot of my part of my pulpit, I guess, is social media. And another thing I see happening right now is farmers who, I guess, didn't understand how their vote would impact their government funding, are jumping on TikTok, asking for help, and then people are asking, "Who did you vote for?" And they said they voted for, some of these people voted for Trump, and other folks too who are upset about the tariffs, and they have small businesses, and they're asking for help, and then people ask, "Who you voted for?" And then people will say Trump, and there's this cognitive there's this disconnect about why people are upset that they voted for Trump versus they're losing their business. And so that's another action that I see that's happening largely by Black people on this on the social media trends that I follow.
We're talking with Rabbi Sandra Lawson. She recently published a Substack essay, Why Some Black Folks Are Sitting This One Out, and That's Okay. And we're referring to the recent protests against the Trump administration all across America and right here in central and southern Illinois. What are you telling colleagues and allies about trying to stay safe in this moment?
This is interesting because I wear two hats. I wear multiple hats. I am a rabbi, and I know this wasn't your question, but most of my conversations have to do with the this administration's using anti-Semitism as a cudgel to deport people. So those are the conversations I'm mostly having with my colleagues. On the other side, though, when I talk to other folks who are not my colleagues, maybe I talked with them online, or Jews of color, Black and Brown Jews, or other folks, there's a real safety concern when it comes to Black and other people of color. Many people feel like this particular president and administration will go after protest, will go after protesters who are Black, just from language that he said in his previous administration. And there is a real concern. Some of the white folks that I've talked to understand that, and are the ones who actively protest are more willing to be at the front of some of these protests to protect their Black and brown siblings.
A lot of Black creators online are saying that participating in hands-off protests will encourage President Trump to invoke martial law. Are you hearing that as well?
Oh, totally. I'm totally hearing it. But just let from his own language, and what he has said he wants to do. And I do think if Black people show up in droves, that the president will use, whatever he feels that is at his disposal to shut down these protests. And I do think it would be violent, and that's really, that's very sad. And so, like, I'm excited for my white siblings, colleagues, friends that are out in the street protesting. And I also think it's okay for people who don't feel that it's safe to do so.
Rabbi Lawson, where do we go from here, and how do you see your own protest taking shape as the Trump administration progresses, and what issues are you focused on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, because it's hard to keep up. This administration keeps throwing stuff. I am really today these days, I am very, very concerned about the Trump administration's what they are calling anti-Semitism policies that don't actually all the what I believe that this that the roadmap that this administration is creating, where it claims to protect Jews, is only going to wind up hurting us. And in the end, Jews will be blamed because they will say, "Well, we're doing this to protect Jews," and we will be blamed for this. And so, I'm spending a lot of time thinking about and helping to educate folks on these policies and how they are not designed to protect Jews and how they were written by, largely right-leaning white Christians for their own goals.
You wrote, "Preserve your body, your spirit, and your energy. There's more than one way to fight."
Absolutely. Thank you. That was a great summary.
That is Rabbi Sandra Lawson. She recently published a Substack essay, "Why Some Black Folks Are Sitting This One Out, and That's Okay." Rabbi Lawson, thank you for joining us on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me. And I learned something too when you with the intro. I didn't realize that Illinois was a 21st state. Thank you.
And that's all for the 21st Show, produced by Illinois Public Media. I'm Reginald Hardwick. Brian Mackey will be back tomorrow. Let's leave you with some music performed by Rabbi Sandra Lawson.
Because time doesn't stand still. When I was young, I didn't understand the pain of your life. And now I'm old and wise, and the distance is too far now, and we've grown so far. Time doesn't stand still. I can't pretend anymore that everything is fine. I've been lying to my friends and my wife that everything is fine. because time doesn't stand still. I've spent so many years hiding from you, and yes, I know.